Aunt Claire is in the hospital, my amazing Aunt Claire, who I hope feels better. I won't say her age, because if she's listening, I get in big trouble, but she's well over 90. And more than one doctor said to me, and I don't understand how this can happen, Dr. Novak. I mean, you've not met me in person, but we've talked many times, who have said to me, oh, sir, I hope your wife is she's doing well. She's okay. Assuming I'm her husband. I don't understand that. So I think the doctors are suggesting I look much older than I am, or that she's young. She looks much younger, and that's the choice that I prefer to take.
Or both.
Or both. I don't know. Dr. Mike Novak, head of the Moderna trial, what we're here to talk about again is COVID-19.
I'm sure. Oh.
Yeah. How long are we going to be talking about this? Is this ever? This is the question people are asking more than any other so far. Is this ever going to go away?
Well, probably not. We're continuing to see new variants arrive, and they're becoming progressively more resistant to our immune responses. So we're going to be playing catch up with developing next generation vaccines for these viruses.
And I know you work, that's one thing you do, is you work on that. So I understand so let me back up a step. The 5.4 and 5.5 variants are those that are problematic or most problematic right now. There are others out there, but these are the ones that are kind of taking over the United States. The 5.1 variant isn't that. It's not the 5.4, not the 5.5 that right now is the contemporary variant, but it's recent and similar. I am told by my sources there is a vaccine for the 5.1 variant vaccine. It's
the BA1, is that you're talking about?
Yes, that it's available, it's real, but it's not available. You can't really get it. Am I right about that?
Well, it's not available yet. It's being it's in development. We've already been through early trials with it. It's against the original Omicron variant. We have a vaccine, and so we've got some data already from those studies, and we're trying to fast track it to development. And they've already started manufacturing it in preparation for being approved. The problem is that it's really good against Omicron, the BA1 variant, but not as good against BA4 and BA5. It is better than the prototype vaccine, which is the one that everybody has gotten. So it will be an improvement, but the FDA is already asking that the vaccine companies to start developing BA4 and BA5 variant vaccines, and we don't have those yet.
So that's the question I have, in part. When you develop those for 4 and 5, BA4 and BA5, then there'll be a BA14 or something. There'll be a different variant. Are you always going to be five steps behind?
Perhaps. So that is a problem, because these variants arise and they circle the globe so quickly if they have an advantage over their predecessors, and it really is a lot faster than we can go through the whole development process. So we may need to streamline the development process. There's some studies that they're trying to predict the next mutations so we can get ahead of the game. But we are pretty much playing catch-up with vaccine development right now.
Is it the development process or the approval process or both?
It's both. I mean, when you think about, they can really fast-track the approval process, but it's based on the results of studies. So you can sequence these new viruses, which they've already done, and make vaccines to them fairly quickly, but then you have to put them into people in clinical trials to see if they actually work and that they're safe. And so that takes time. And then once that's done, if it looks good, then you have to manufacture it. And so it has to go into the to manufacturing, which is, has to be ramped up, make millions of doses. That can't happen overnight. Take some time.
So for the flu vaccine, every year adjustments are made. To my knowledge, and I could definitely be wrong about this, but I don't think so. Are there clinical trials that happen for the variations of... So the flu vaccine for this coming year will be different than it was this past fall, and for the following fall will be just a little bit adjusting each vaccine. But there aren't clinical trials for those adjustments, are there?
There are. They're smaller scale trials. They're done very quickly. They are mostly conducted by NIH and the CDC, but they're bridging studies, which means they look at whether or not you make antibodies to the strains of interest. It doesn't really, they're not studies that show that you're actually protected against those viruses. So they're not like, Steve, when you were coming to our place to participate in a vaccine trial, there's a large phase 3 trial where they enrolled tens of thousands of people, and they actually determined that the vaccine was effective because it prevented people from getting sick. And these bridging studies are much smaller, and they're just assuming that the antibody titers that you need, that they're generated by the vaccine, that's equivalent to efficacy. And it really isn't, but that's the... In order to turn these vaccines around quickly, we really have to go with that.
So are you suggesting that maybe the CDC ought to reconsider the kind of trials that they're doing now compared to the kind of trials that happened for flu? And maybe those are the sort of simple trials that you described that and take less time. We ought to be moving toward those?
Well, that's what we're doing with the... With the variant vaccines, we're doing bridging studies.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They're short-term studies.
And yes, clearly you must have been desperate for people to be in the trial. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have been chosen. But I am honored to have been chosen. You know I feel that way. It's 217 on WGN. When we come back, I want to ask Dr. Novak about how sick you might get if you get these variants. The suggestion by some has been not very. Do vaccines make any difference at all, or you be being previously infected by one of the variants? And we will learn what those answers are when we come back and get to your questions too. 312-981-7200. It's 221 on WGN. Steve Dale here, Dr. Mike Novak over there. We're talking about, yes, what was that?
My name's Rick Novak, not Mike Novak.
Did I say, I actually know a Mike Novak. Did I say that before as well?
Yes, you did.
Well, thank you for correcting me.
My name's Mike Novak.
I'm sorry about that. What do I have written down here? I wonder if I, no, I've got Dr. Mike Novak written down, so I can't even read my own writing, apparently. I apologize to you. And I've had you on the show, and I know you, so that's really five times as embarrassing. All right, so... Here are the numbers from the CDC. 54%, they say. That's an increase of 30-something, 33%, I believe, now live in a high COVID area. Does that mean the new variants are spreading?
Oh, yeah. They're spreading very quickly. Here in Chicago, we're in a very high-risk area.
Should we be wearing masks indoors again? And doesn't matter what your answer is, I don't know that people are ready to do that.
Well, I never stopped, frankly, but when I'm indoors in a public place, because the risk is always there, but particularly now, the number of cases is so high that there's virtually no place you can go where there isn't somebody who has COVID.
Well, in fact, what
it'd be wise to wear a mask.
Whatever numbers you give me, some say they're many times higher because we don't know, because home testing is so readily available, and then there's no way for most people to report that they're positive if they're just testing at home. So, in fact, the numbers are likely far higher, and nobody knows how much higher. Is there truth to that?
Right, absolutely. The state reported 33,000 cases last week. In Illinois, And I'm sure the numbers are much higher than that because of the home testing.
So there's two lines of thought on this next question that I'm about to ask. And I've had experts on the show who have been on either side of the border here. One is that the virus, the SARS coronavirus 2, which is causes COVID-19, is in the process of humanizing, which means that, in essence, the virus wants to continue infecting people. And to do that, it will continue to change so it can. But at the same time, the virus will become less virulent and not be as serious, not as many people will land in a hospital. Others say that is a good theory, but likely not true, that there's no demonstration of fact to support that. Which side of the fence are you on?
I go with that second statement. Basically, we'd like to believe that, but there's no evidence to suggest that. And there are still people who are, particularly people who've never been vaccinated, who are ending up in the hospital, and they're still dying of COVID. Fortunately, the vast majority of the population has gotten some immunity against COVID, and that's likely what's making their disease milder. Because even though these new variants can evade our immune responses better than the original ones, they can't evade them entirely. And so immune responses you have, either from earlier infection or vaccines or both, gives you protection against serious illness.
All right, so here's what happened here. Our text line wasn't working properly because Sarah fixed it, and now I have about 100 questions. I don't know if I can get to them all, so I'll try. Why do we call it vaccine? A vaccine stops the spread of disease like polio. I think that's a great question because I think that there's a great deal of misunderstanding. The flu vaccine forever diminishes the impact of the disease, and there are many vaccines like that. Can you explain, Dr. Novak?
Yeah. Well, vaccines are, I could give you a really long answer, but the reality is the vaccines are designed to do a number of different things. Ideally, the best vaccine would prevent people from ever getting an illness, and then they would be able to pass on it to somebody else. But many vaccines still don't prevent you from getting the virus. The virus has to get into your body in order for the immune system to kick in. But you don't get symptoms, so you never get sick. And hopefully you don't make a lot of new virus when you do get that infection, so you're not spreading it to other people. But failing to do that, vaccines can also just make the disease less severe and keep you from dying of it. So those are all goals of the vaccine, of all vaccines, and some are better than others at protecting people from ever getting an infection. When we first started studying vaccines against COVID-19, the goal really was to prevent symptomatic illness and mostly to keep people out of the hospital. If you remember the beginning of the pandemic, the hospitals were getting overwhelmed. They didn't have places to put everybody, and people are dying in droves. And we really wanted a vaccine that would at least keep people from getting so sick that they would end up in the hospital.
What about all the people? What about all? There's another question here that has been asked many times, actually, here. What about those people that are vaccinated, double boosted, and still they get sick?
Yeah, well, my wife got COVID after getting double boosted. It's because the virus is changing. It's not the same virus today that we were dealing with at the beginning, and also that the vaccine was developed against. The virus is mutating, and the latest strain, why do these viruses emerge? Because they're better at doing what they do, which is infecting people so they can replicate better. And the more virus that can be produced by any one type of virus, the more people will infect and will become the dominant virus. And so it does that through two tools that it has, two main tools. One is it becomes more infectious, and the other thing is it learns to escape our immune response. Or it doesn't learn it, it just evolves to escape our immune response. And so this particular variant, BA5, is really good at both of those things. It's about four times more contagious than Omicron, or actually the BA2 variant, and it's really good at evading our immune responses. So those vaccines that you got, while they do still protect you from getting so sick you'll end up in the hospital most of the time, they don't do that nearly as well as they did with the earlier variants. That's why we need next-generation vaccines that will protect people from getting so sick that they end up in the hospital.
Yeah, but we don't have those as part of the problem. Many people are asking here that they're confused. The instant test says they're positive or they're negative, depending on the question. And then the PCR test says they're negative or positive, but is different than the instant test. How do they know? And do these tests, are they truly up to date with the new Omicron variants?
They're tested against these newer variants, and they still give accurate information. The home tests are not nearly as sensitive as PCR-based tests. And so you could have a negative home test and still test positive by PCR. The other thing about that is once you've had COVID, if you keep testing yourself at home, your home test will turn negative much quicker than your PCR test will. The PCR is picking up fragments of the virus that might not even be infectious. But it's such a sensitive test that can detect very small amounts of viral genetic material.
Dr. Richard Novak, I owe you. Dr. Richard Novak, thank you so much. Thank you for your time and giving up your personal time on a Sunday afternoon. You must know I always appreciate that and appreciate what you and your colleagues do, truly, for all of us. Karen Conti's in the studio, and she's applauding as well. Thank you.